The Trials of Apollo, The Hidden Oracle, Chapter 33. Parting is sorrow. Nothing about it is sweet. Don't step on my face. The trees were using their inside voices.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Period.
I couldn't possibly relate to one of these haikus more than this first one. It really felt it in my bones.
Don't step on my face.
Don't step on my face.
Don't step on my face.
I've had a lot of people metaphorically step on my face in this past week and a half, and I'm tired of it. Don't do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Neve, Ava, how are we?
I'm still standing, as Elton John says.
Stepping on her face.
People, listen. Well, work lately has actually been not ideal. It's like kind of the worst, like pretty much the whole staff agrees that this is like the worst, like, chunk of time we've had like in a long time, and so we're all kind of hashtag suffering. But it's like a summer like thing, so it's split up into different sessions. So we're like, all right, 5 days till this one ends. The next one starts on Sunday, and it doesn't involve sleeping in a crappy dorm every night and policing high school is 24/7. So it's going to be awesome when I can get my morning coffee and sleep in my own bed. And oh my goodness. So it's going to be so lovely. But right now I'm hashtag surviving. 9 minutes till I turn 22 though. That's crazy.
Yes! Yes!
It feels not real at all. Yeah, that's about it. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm well and dandy. I am working all the time, but that was my update last week, so it's a little boring. Today was my one day off this entire week because I worked yesterday, and I will work every single day up until next Sunday.
Let's go.
With that day off, what did I do? Get a root canal. It was.
You got the tooth canal.
I did get the tooth canal, and it was honestly like not painful at all. I don't know why all the media that we have seen has been like root canals hurt so bad. I'm sure when they didn't have like local anesthetic, it probably really hurt, but because it weird noises for sure. If anyone ever has to get a root canal when they're 21, like me. weird noises for definite. It's like a screwdriver going into your tooth. But otherwise, it was fine. The guy who did it was so clearly like in a frat in college. He was like in his late 30s. He was so sweet. Love him. Really nice guy. First time meeting him. But like he clearly was in a frat in college. And that kind of made me a little like, oh my God, this is a frat guy who's definitely about to do my root canal. But he did a good job. And it was an experience. And then I went to yoga, and that helped me calm down. And
wow.
Here.
That's fine.
How are you, Brayden?
I am chilling, I guess. I am also working a lot. But that's okay, because you gotta work to pay rent, because Neve and I just signed a lease.
Yes, you did.
That was exciting. Big news.
Legal promise to pay them money, but yeah. exciting.
It means I'm working more than I have been, because I'm already working as much as I could, but I'm certainly taking days off with even more discretion. But they gave me 2 days off this week.
Nice.
Which was, I don't know if nice, because I don't have much else to do besides work those days. But it was nice today. I went to a movie theater when I wasn't working, and I saw Joyride, which was incredibly funny. So that was a nice use of my day. Besides, the rest of the day was running errands and going to the gym, and basically the only other things I do when I'm not at work. But other than that, I've been watching Glamorous on Netflix. It's not like an award-winning show, but it's fun and I'm really enjoying it. It really has a bit of that Dynasty edge where it's like a little, it's like the Dynasty version of Succession, even though I think Dynasty already is a little Succession-y because it's business drama, but it's also family. You know, I'm getting off topic, but I have been enjoying Glamorous. It's very queer. It's fun. A quick watch. I also, a really good movie that I watched this weekend was Nimona on Netflix, which I highly recommend. It's like a sci-fi fantasy, like it's medieval, but it's like high-tech medieval. And it's about a trans character and about gay characters. And it's like a kid's movie, but focusing on queer storytelling in a cool, like high fantasy, but sci-fi setting. It was very fun. It was very good. It was very well made. Not a lot of people are watching it, which is kind of sad, but it's very good. And I highly recommend that you do. I think if you like Percy Jackson, that movie is right up your alley. Yeah.
Now I want to watch it. Wow.
You should. You really should. And it's like a nice like hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate when a movie is the length that I grew up expecting movies to be.
Mm-hmm. Actually, though. Guys, I have to jump back a topic and just talk about some of the terms in this lease. Because, you know, we read it very carefully to make sure we weren't like signing away a right or something. And some of the things are so funny. Like, clearly just like rules that like, it happened, so we have to write it down, because you wouldn't think of this. Like, one of the terms was, like, tenants will not live in an apartment other than the one that they signed for. And I was like, how would we get into another? But like, yeah, fucking obviously. How would we get into a different apartment? So clearly what was the water, like, swapped.
The waterbed one really got me.
That was no waterbeds in our apartment complex. Absolutely no fucking waterbeds.
Which is just clearly because there was once a problem with a waterbed.
It's literally so good. But so that also, was devastating news. We can't get a waterbed when we...
When was the last time people used waterbeds, though? Like, the 70s. Like,
it is an old building.
I will have to say, waterbeds fall in the quicksand category of something I expected to be more common in adult life.
Yes, so I so agree with that. Also, when do you guys move in?
September 1st.
Woo! That's when I'm gonna... Oh my god, that's crazy.
Incredible. Sorry. Look at us.
Adults.
Move into cities, being adults.
Well, no, I'm coming back. Don't get it twisted.
That's true.
I can't be far from my little East Coast for that long.
And with the talk of us being adults, let's talk about the children's books. Welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week, we'll be discussing The Trials of Apollo, The Hidden Oracle, chapters 33 through 36. We're almost done with this first book, which is crazy because it feels like we were just on Heroes of Olympus. And now I'm fully way more committed to this book series than
Absolutely.
I was to Heroes of Olympus.
Neve, I love this.
Neve? I believe.
Oh my god, wait. Week,
it is your turn.
Oh my
to
god.
Summarize. Go.
Okay. Okay, so Apollo's looking for Meg, and he finds Meg, and Meg is overwhelmed with Peaches, like screaming, because they're both overwhelmed by the voices of the trees in Dodona, and Apollo convinces Meg to like put the wind chimes up. So it helps, but then Meg runs off. I'm skipping a lot, but Meg runs off to go back to be with Nero, which Apollo was like, fuck. So he comes back out and warns all of the campers who have lived through the burning almost incident and is like, there's going to be a giant robot that attacks the camp And then guess what? That happens. And the giant, they use the ants to fly to try and attack the giant robot and like taunt it.
Your time is up.
Fuck, Apollo's trying to curse an arrow, but he can't remember how. And then Percy shows up.
And then Percy shows up. I freaked.
I only needed like two more sentences.
Yeah, those were the broad strokes for sure. The ants also helped. The Myrmecas came back. The
ants were so funny.
I said that. They flew in on the ants.
Oh, that's true.
The way that they
called them, Brayden. I said that.
The way they called the mother ant mama, I was like, Mama Roo.
It was like honestly really unsettling.
I don't like her that she's mama.
It's really scary.
I love it. I think it's hilarious.
I will never be on board with these ants. I don't care if they're trying to save Camp Half-Blood. I was thinking most of the time as I listened to these chapters, how they could never adapt this into live action in the genre that they need to, because at a young adult aimed TV show, there's no way you design giant ants that aren't terrifying. I guess Ant-Man did it, but
no, they did.
They weren't great.
As an outsider, as an outsider to what was happening when I watched the recent ant movie, they were creepy.
Recent ant movie.
That's yeah, it was the most recent ant movie for sure.
No, yeah, I agree. Even as a quote-unquote insider, they were a little freaky.
Yeah, no, I certainly, I don't know if I'd call anyone an Ant-Man insider. I don't think anyone is particularly
I don't think Ant-Man is an Ant-Man insider.
I like Paul Rudd.
Somebody's going to comment on our social media and be like,
actually? I love Ant-Man, you bitch. And I'm going to be like, more for you. No, listen, because I did really enjoy the latest movie, not because it was great, but it was because a lot of shapes and colors.
It was very colorful for sure. Definitely. That is what I can say about Ant-Man Quantumania. It was a time.
Listen, I enjoyed myself.
I wish I could have said the same.
Yeah, I know. You were pretty vocal about it, too.
Yeah. We don't need to get into the state of the MCU currently.
Guys, it's 12:01.
Oh, my God. It's Ava's birthday.
Yeah. It's Ava's birthday.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys.
You're Yay, Taylor first. Swift year.
True. I don't know about you. Bitch, I hope the fucking
I don't know about all you.
I don't know about all y'all.
But do you know what she's feeling?
Tired.
All right, what songs did we bring this week?
Ooh, I chose Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult because he got real close to dying. And that was like kind of Apollo's first, like, I think so far that has been his closest shave.
Yeah.
And I love that song. I think it's so spooky.
Oh, I'm such a fan of Don't Fear the Reaper.
Me too. Driving in the rain at night, listening to Don't Fear the Reaper, don't even.
I don't know what it is, but it just, that song hits.
It hits so hard. It's in the same category as Riders on the Storm by The Doors.
Mmm. Another good song.
They're the same vibe. I just, anyway, that's mine.
Mine is Nature Versus Nurture by Chase Petra.
I don't know it.
It is about like not understanding who you are because of your past and like thinking about like the people who raised you and the way you grew up and what that turned you into.
Yeah.
And that's a little on the nose. I don't even know if I have to explain that's pretty much overtly about Meg in these chapters. And I feel like we I've been picking a lot of songs that are mostly at Apollo, and I wanted to do some Meg perspective in these my song choice this week.
Slay. Mm-hmm. Mine is Pink by Waterparks. Sorry to throw off the folk vibe, but it's not one of their more intensely pop punk songs. I mean, it is. Everything they make is a pop punk song.
Yeah.
But it's not like crazy. And it just kind of talks about becoming close with someone you weren't expecting to become close with, but then the relationship ending, which I was like, damn, exactly what happens in these chapters. So it's also a great song. Very catchy.
Mine's rock, so we're all over the place. I love it, actually.
What were our favorite songs this week?
Favorite songs this week?
Moments this week.
Well, my favorite moments this week were not songs. They were haikus. I dug the haikus this week. We were kind of talking about it before we started recording. But what really sent me, I loved chapter 34. Uber's got nothing. Lyft is weak. And taxis? Nah. My ride is da mom. I was like, shut the fuck up. It was so good. Oh, I loved it.
The first time I read that part, I was like, what is going on? I couldn't process what it meant for a good 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it really sank in after, but
I loved the banter between the campers that we really haven't gotten to know, because we knew them for 10-ish chapters, and then they, got consumed by this grove. So it was really I just liked getting to know these characters that we didn't get to super know before the main adventure of this book start off. Yeah. So their banter was funny. It was good.
They also reinforced my thought that everyone this all of Rick's books kind of have a unintentionally he can't escape accidentally writing queer characters vibe. But I don't know why every one of these characters in the Trials of Apollo books feels gay.
No, you're right.
I pick up that vibe, but I don't think that I'm the person.
Because I don't know if... Yeah, no, I agree. Apollo, it's clear. Meg is a baby queer person. The way, something about... It's the haircut and the red sneakers and the, the... Anyway. And...
Well, I mean, overtly, the first one that comes to mind is the geyser spirits.
Yeah.
Polly and his partner, Pete.
Yeah.
Come on.
Polly and Pete. They're so cute.
Polly and Pete. And then, I'm trying to find their names. Cecil Markowitz and what was the oh my God. I can't remember the name of the other boy that was tied up with them.
I don't know.
I don't know. They had banter in a way that just felt very
Yeah.
I can't find it, but it doesn't matter.
What's the TikTok?
Ellis.
With, something in the yes. Water turning the fucking frogs gay.
It's Ellis and Cecil.
Bruh.
And then, yeah. And Kayla and Austin just being children of Apollo is gay to begin with.
Oh, yeah. I can attest.
That was my biggest thought outside the theme. So I'm good to take a break.
Word.
Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, authority. Where do we want to go first? I feel like going like chronologically through this, these chapters is probably easiest because we really just switch settings real quickly.
Yeah,
sure.
So like looking at Meg and the Grove of Dodona and Meg and Apollo's relationship. Wow, we still obviously talked about this last week with the like relationship with Nero, seeing how deep seated that trauma is really, really striking even in these chapters still.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing in these chapters about that though is how it turns in on her relationship with Apollo, and that there's a way that Meg has decided to treat Apollo in like their like ownership thing of magic, where she leads him, that feels very informed by the authority that Nero holds on her in a way that she doesn't really know how to lead another person.
Yeah. And I think once kind of like Apollo criticizes like Nero, who is kind of that influence, she freaks out and is like, I can't have like negative commentary on, I had a thought and it just went away. It went away so quickly.
I think I know where you were going in that.
We'll see.
It seems that once Meg's perspective of like who is right and wrong and who sets the rules and is the authority on her life, she kind of loses the ability to assert any of those skills or traits in other relationships, in that like she cannot be someone who has any authority in her relationship with Apollo if her foundational relationship to authority has been shattered.
Yeah. Yeah. So she gets rid of the person that reminds her of the thing that like that Apollo is opposing, but that inherently has shaped her, if that makes sense. Like Apollo and Nero's roles are like directly at odds with each other because they have similar like positionality to her.
It's weird. The positionality of Apollo is very weird.
Very weird.
Because he is both the like one of the utmost authorities and currently has no authority at all.
Yeah.
He is a god who is a shaper of the universe, puts him above Meg.
Hold on. What the hell was that?
I knocked over a water bottle full of ice, guys.
Okay, it sounded like pots and pans. I was like, I thought she's in a dorm. What is she cooking?
Nah, I am in a dorm. Y'all, this room is ass. Keep talking.
I lost track of what I was saying. We're trying real hard to be smart today, but I feel like we're in much more of a silly, goofy place.
Yo, so, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm so sleep deprived.
So I'm going to try to be a little less smart and lead into the silliness from now on. Because I think that is the energy that we're carrying throughout the rest of this episode. But what I was saying was that because Apollo is the big cheese, but also the mouse at the same time. He is a god, but all, which puts him above Meg, which puts him above Nero. But he's also the lowest in this chain of command, where Nero is controlling Meg, who's controlling Apollo.
Right.
And that, on both ends, pulls Meg in so many directions.
Exactly.
Also, Meg talks, like, in, like, some of the most, like, heated moments of their conversation, like, right before she runs off, she's like, you don't get it. Like, I can convince him out of this. Like, I can help you. Like, I can fix this. And it's, like, a weird duality of, like, how much authority does she think she has over this person that, like, if you were in a mutually respected relationship, you could think that maybe you could, you know, sway their mind on something. And I don't know if Meg actually believes that, or if she's just trying to convince herself that she could have that sort of power, you know, just because like she's been with him, like around him so long, and like he trusts her or something like that. Like, it's like, how much does she actually believe that? Or how much is she just trying to convince herself that like she could have any kind of say in this relationship?
It does feel like she does believe it to an extent.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if that's coming from a place of like fact, or there's anything founded on that, or it's just that this relationship is so manipulative and broken that that division between Nero and the Beast really is creates such a cognitive dissonance in Meg that she almost can't function in this relationship without being explicitly told what she needs to do to earn what side of Nero.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think because of that loss, in that confusion, in this moment with this relationship with Apollo, not only is she a disaster with her relationship with Nero, she literally does not know how to address her friendship with Apollo.
Right.
There we go. We found the thread.
We did.
Yeah.
I think something that is a pattern that continues with authority, I think this is played in the Meg situation, and then into the Ants and Myrmica's, and then into camp even, is that that reciprocal relationship with authority, that authority is given, it is something that is attributed. There is an earningness to authority. You have to let someone have authority over you. Authority is not something that is automatic or like intrinsic.
Right.
Apollo is able to have authority to command the Myrmicas because he develops a relationship with Mama, who is the authority over the rest of the Myrmicas, and that development of that relationship is what gives him power in the situation. And then further on, when he begins to kind of help lead the defense of the camp, it's very different than the beginning of the book, in which he seems to have really earned more respect, not as a god, not as like, oh, you're our dad, you're some higher power from beyond, but like as a peer that really gives him the authority to command his like fellow soldiers, to put it bluntly, like what to do in this situation.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting what he says in the third chapter we read this week about how, oh, where is Percy Jackson? Where is Frank Zhang? Where is Jason Grace? Where is Reyna? Where are any of these characters who have been leaders in this community? Because they're the ones who should be leading us. And then he realizes that, oh, maybe out of everyone who's here, maybe I'm the one with the most authority to lead us right now. Because certainly not Chiron.
No. And how he was saying, like, I'd normally say some, like bullshit thing. I mean, obviously I didn't say bullshit, but, like, something of, like, and now it's your turn. Like, go forth, demigods, and figure this shit out. And he's like, and now I can't do that. Like, now it's actually my job to figure it out. It's an interesting, like, his higher role of, like, quote-unquote authority used to make him able to skirt fixing problems. Being like, this is your task now. Like, it's meant for you to do this. Like, you have to go figure it out. And now he's like, oh, wait, I actually have to figure it out now. Like, that was never for real, you know?
Yeah. That part really stood out to me, being like, oh, wait, there's no truth to a lot of these things that we were told there was truth to in two book series up until now. And he's like, yeah, we kind of just say stuff sometimes and be like,
yeah,
and truth will reveal itself to you in time. And he's like, that just felt so real to me. Yeah. In a way that I've seen authority and leadership really play out in the real world, both on like microcosm scales within like student clubs in high school or college, or like in businesses and places of work. Like I've hardly ever had managers who really know the places I've worked that much better than any of the employees that they manage. Or like even in a grander scale, like presidents running for election make a lot of empty promises and say a lot of vague things because that's what gives you power and authority to do things. But it doesn't mean that you actually have the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I think a healthy authority is based off of like a trusting two-way mutually beneficial like conscious agreement, but then you get into like unconscious authority and like how some people can kind of take authority through like manipulating a subconscious and like and I think no one here in this book, I can't think of a dynamic that really is that kind of healthy authority. But listen, Nero is like the opposite, like the definition of toxic authority.
It's really something that kind of, yeah, I agree. I don't know if I can think of any examples of it, but that is the ideal of authority that admits its knowledge is like the ideal type of leader,
right?
Where it becomes a more symbiotic.
Yep.
That's the fantasy of representational democracy.
Yeah.
It has never worked in the real world in practice, but that foundational ideal is really what has pushed democracy forward, and the form of the republic in which we elect officials to make decisions for us is under the guise that there's transparency. Unfortunately, that works for robots who are programmed to work specific ways. Humans don't work like that. Also, not at the scale in which republics operate in the 21st century. Maybe in a town of like 30 people, representational democracy could work a lot easier. But you do see a lot of issues arise when you have to navigate like town and city versus state versus national representational democracy. It becomes very complicated and people lie and there is a lack of transparency and it gets very muddled, but it is all a social contract of authority that we all enter into.
I'm snapping for those who can't see, because this isn't a visual medium.
Thank God for it,
Slay.
Any other thoughts on authority?
I want to quickly mention how Percy's entrance is seen as like, thank God, someone who knows what he's doing is here. And no hate to Percy, but there is absolutely no way to guarantee that he knows what he's doing. It was just so funny. Like, oh, thank God Percy's here. Now someone else can like know what they're doing. I was like, does Percy?
Percy never knows what he's doing. He's just a really good problem solver.
Yeah, like he'll probably help out. But it was just so funny that like Percy Jackson, as we know him and love him, is seen as like, thank God. Like there were moments in the original series where it was like Percy entered the scene and you were like, fuck, this is about to get worse. Like, it was just like not seen as a good thing. So that made me laugh.
Yeah, it is like, this boy is not like a tactical genius. He's like really good at improv.
And like can move water in fun ways.
Really good at improv and can move water.
I mean, that's kind of, that's, let's admit that's half what Percy is doing.
Yeah.
Long form improv.
Exactly.
True.
All right. Sass moments?
I have mine. Polly beamed with gratitude. He tried to hug me again, but he was already 90% steam. All I got was a humid waft of mud-scented air. Then he was gone. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it did. Just the idea of him being 90% steam.
That was on my list as well. I also just thought it was funny for some reason.
Just a hug from only air. It did make me laugh.
It was very good. I loved every time the arrow spoke.
I did too.
I ate that up, especially when, so you're made from Dodona. Okay, guest. Is that why you talk? Forsooth, said the arrow. That doesn't make sense. Let's be honest. That's not the context in which you say forsooth. Oh.
Mine of another arrow quote was, I shall assist, promised the arrow of Dodona. Startest thou, plaguey, plaguey, plaguey. The enchantment does not start, plaguey, plaguey, plaguey.
That one was good too.
That one just really got me. Like, you know when you hear a good joke and you just kind of repeat it in your head to yourself for a little bit? I've been thinking about that all day. It was just something about the old timey speak was just very, and the cadence of which the air was written was just like very Monty Python. And I was really enjoying it.
Plaguey, plaguey, plaguey.
Yeah, the line plaguey, plaguey, plaguey sounds very Monty Python and the quest for the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Offerings.
Mama Roo.
So Mama or actually RuPaul?
No, Mama the aunt, but can you put Roo in there?
I'll do Mama parentheses Roo.
That's what I was picturing. She gave. I love her.
Mine is for Meg.
Yeah.
Hope she's okay. She's not. I hope she will be okay.
Mine,
nicely.
Mine is going to take a minute of explanation. Because mine is for what could have been. Mine is for Nico. Because I think, not past tense, because I still think this. I think this was a missed opportunity to give Nico a parallel story beat to the way his sister died. We literally talk about Talos in these chapters. And Nico helps, obviously. I wish Nico was having a bigger role in this interaction right now. I know it's Apollo's book, but the fighting the giant automaton, giving Nico a bigger role in this moment, I think was a missed opportunity, because I think that parallel was literally drawn
It was.
And we didn't even get Nico referencing it at all. And I thought it was a missed opportunity. And so this is a offering for both Nico and Bianca. And that missed opportunity like that. And that throwback to Titan's Curse.
I miss Bianca so much.
Who we vote off?
The ants did good.
The ants, unfortunately, did do good.
Nero's just a cunt.
Yeah.
So Nero.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, so I'm voting off Peaches again because Peaches was particularly creepy in these chapters.
That is true. That is
it was like really unsettling.
Something about like Peaches, like just Peaches being described as like rolling and going apples, peaches, watermelon, peaches.
Oh, no, it's so weird.
So like, I'm so scared.
That is true. That was really weird. It was very weird.
This I hate, to quote RuPaul.
This I hate. One of the best moments to come out of the recent RuPaul All-Stars season.
To quote RuPaul at the ants, well done, mama.
True.
I hated that. I hated that.
If you have not seen the video of RuPaul saying, well done, mama, it is incredible. Please search RuPaul, well done, mama. Now, stop. Don't listen to any of the rest of this episode. Just search it now.
My vote off is for Chiron. You definitely just weren't doing enough. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
No, real. Ugh, I'm just grateful that this book is bringing back the tradition of voting off Chiron as much as possible.
Yeah, we haven't had the opportunity in a while.
Well, with that traditional vote off for Chiron, that is all for this week. Join us next week where we'll be discussing
chapters 37 through 40.
Make sure to follow us on social media. Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well done, mama.
Well done, mama.